40. Applauding the designer. By the time Oppie and the other dragoons had crested the top of the cliff, there were only 11 of them and a small team of regular soldiers. The noise of their ascent had been covered by the gun battle on the beaches, but now the guns had stopped firing. "Form ranks," Sergeant Beatty commanded, and they split into two groups. At that moment, Oppie knew for certain that Edmund had been the one who'd drowned, as he'd always been on Oppie's left in his squadron. A horrible way to go. He'd miss him. They'd played with toys together in those first months at a place called Ravenscroft. Then, later, when they'd been shipped to Esquimalt, they'd played with guns and axes.
"Squadron A, take the point. Full speed," Beatty commanded.
Esther's squadron chugged forward, their mechanized arms and legs hissing. Oppie was in the second group of five, bringing up the rear. He pushed all thoughts of Edmund from his mind. This is what he had trained for. The crimes of Oppie's enemies had grown and festered in his heart since the day they'd kidnapped him as a boy. How he had been longing for this moment. And now that it was here, oddly, he found himself thinking of his mother, her face before him. Such thoughts would only cloud his mind. He banished them.
"Squadron B, forward, march!"
His troop pounded down the path towards the beach, hundreds of yards away. The beach was lit in such a way that he could clearly see a red-headed woman waving her arms, directing the guild soldiers. Miss Hackandottir. He had seen her when he was a child. Her face was burned in his memory. Silencing the massive field guns was their first objective. Esther's troop had almost reached them. The guild soldiers tried to hold their position, but their lines were split in two by the juggernauts. His squadron began their charge, but Oppie slowed down as they passed the glowing mouth of a cave. Inside, an old man with stringy, long white hair was watching the unfolding battle. Ah, yes. Dr. Hyde.
"Sergeant Beatty!"
Oppie yelled. But his sergeant was out of earshot, and Oppie was at the rear of the squadron. Oppie brought himself to a stop, motor burning, steam hissing, his chest heaving, as there was more than a little exertion required on his part to keep his armor in motion. One of his squadron's objectives was to capture the doctor. He'd do his best not to kill him in the process. The doctor was much smaller and older than Oppie remembered. He was a child when this man had forced his tinctures on him. He didn't give his fellow soldiers a glance. They would be able to take the beach. Dr. Hyde met his gaze, and then his eyes took in the spectacle of Oppie's armor.
"You are beautiful," the old man said. "You are so very beautiful."
It had been a lifetime since this man had administered Oppie the potion and promised him he'd become something extraordinary.
"You don't recognize me," he said,
flipping back a section of armor, protecting his shoulder. The doctor looked at the bolt that protruded from up his shoulder.
"Your bolt? Shoulder bolts? I remember. You are mine."
"Yes," Oppie said. "I am yours. Your creation. And I have come for you."
One blow and he could crush the old sawbones into pieces. How easy and satisfying. Destroy the old man as he had destroyed Oppie. But his orders had been to capture, not kill.
"Come with me," he said.
"Young man," replied Dr. Hyde, "I cannot leave my work. It is the most important work of all, and it is very nearly done."
"I have orders. I must follow them."
He grabbed the doctor's shoulder with his iron hand, which moved as though it were his real hand. He had worked so hard to perfect it. Had practiced picking up eggs without breaking them. The doctor looked at Oppie's metal hand, examining all the gears.
"Marvelous work," he said. "I can see how it can be improved, but still I applaud your designer."
"You'll meet him soon enough."
"I cannot leave. My creations wait for me. They are close to life. It has been so very good to see you again."
"You will—"
Then, without warning, Oppie found himself flying sideways, and the doctor slipped out of his hand. He rolled, the armor protecting him from breaking his back on the stones. Standing up quickly, his pistons whining, he turned to face his enemy. A massive man stood before him as the doctor limped slowly back into the cave.
"My master requested your departure," Typhon grunted.
They had been warned about this man, too. But he was larger than Oppy had imagined, nearly as big as Oppy. His skin had a mottled greenish pallor that seemed to glow in the moonlight. Their orders had been to destroy him. Oppy unsnapped the axe from his back and charged.